At the Crossroads is a collection of sermons preached at Crossroads Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama. The following sermon was given by Raleigh Hill on Sunday evening, January 14th, 2018.
Ephesians chapter number 2. As I said, it's our privilege to be here tonight. We're so thankful for the opportunity to be in God's house. I'm so thankful that we are saved and that we have the privilege to live in a country that we can gather whenever we feel like it to learn God's Word, to preach God's Word, and to be challenged, moved by His Spirit. There are countries all over this world where they could never do what we're doing tonight. Oftentimes, and I know as kids and teenagers, we don't realize that there are people all around the world that would just beg and plead and would love to have an opportunity to hear God's Word, to be able to be in a church and not be afraid to be arrested or to be taken out. And it's such a privilege that we have to be here tonight and to just gather together with people that rejoice like we rejoice that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. I hope that we never, ever get over that. Thank you for letting us be here. If you would, look with me. We're going to read just a few verses in chapter number 2. We're going to read verses number 8, 9, and 10. Very familiar verses. We've all probably heard these verses several times before, and I just want to share with you a simple thought tonight of what God, I believe, would have for us tonight. Verse number 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Let's pray tonight. Lord Jesus, I pray that for a few moments tonight, Lord, that You would lend me Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that You would settle all distractions. Lord, I pray that You would calm our hearts, Lord. I pray that You would touch the ear of the hearer, Lord, and the heart of the listener. I pray that You would give me the words that You would have me to preach tonight, Lord. I pray that for just a little while, Lord, that we might be able to see into Your heart, Lord, and to hear from heaven. We ask for Your hand upon us now, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to look at just two simple thoughts tonight, and both are around salvation. I think whenever you're going to explain salvation to anyone, these verses are always great verses to bring into salvation. And so I want to look kind of as a way of introduction, but in our first point, I want to look at the purpose of salvation. What was the purpose of salvation? Well, if we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, we read how that God created all that was, and it was good. And then sin came into the world by Adam. I think Romans says it best, and best that death passed upon all men because of Adam. I remember there was one little boy, 4 years old, Michael Fletcher. He was a very, very, very smart young man. He was way ahead of everybody else. This kid was just brilliant. But about the age of 3, I guess, just had turned 4, he wanted to be saved. And so we sat down and I went through Michael Fletcher, I went through the gospel with him, and I just shared with him how that Jesus Christ loved him, died on the cross for him, and I shared with him how that it was simple, you know, that God loved him, and that all we have to do is confess that we're sinners, because the Bible says that we're all sinners, and then we could basically be saved. Well, he got hung up at that confessing he was a sinner part. Now, this is a boy who just turned 4 years of age, who understood that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to this earth. He died on the cross for all man's sins. And that if we accept Him, we pray and accept His death in our place that we could be saved. But when you get to that part that with the mouth confession is made, when you actually had to admit that you were a sinner, he was like, "Nope, I'm good." How many of you have ever had a child, parents, that, "Oh no, they didn't do it. That was something else. It was a miraculous thing. I'm not sure how that vase broke. There must have been an earthquake." You know, it happens, right? We all have those kids. Then you have the kids that just point at each other, right? It's like, "Hey, they won't spank us both. They did at my house." Matter of fact, it didn't matter if you started the fight or you lost the fight. Both of you were getting a whooping, so you better get as many licks in as you could. But Michael Fletcher could not accept that he was indeed a sinner. Could not do it. I mean, I have gone through the gospel with this kid time and time again. Finally, I just said, Michael, I don't think you're ready, buddy. Because he was really pretty young, and I said, I just don't think you're ready. And then he begged me, crying, no, don't leave, don't leave, don't leave. And I said, all right, we'll go through this one more time, and I'm going to ask you some questions. You tell me what you think about what God says. So I shared with him the verses and asked him a couple of questions. And I said, Michael, has there ever been a time where you did not clean your room when your mama told you to clean your room? Nope. Michael, has there ever been a time where maybe you told a lie? Something? Nope. Michael, has there ever been a time that you have ever committed any sin? Nope. Michael, do you know what sin is? Yes, sir, when we disobey God. And I said, God told us to obey our parents, right? And he said, yeah. Yes, sir. I said, have you ever disobeyed your parents? No, sir. I'm thinking to myself, I can't help him. I mean, we just need to get this kid across because, I mean, he's perfect, obviously, you know. And I said, well, maybe you could die for yourself then. And he was like, I said, Michael, the Bible says that as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. I said, are you saying God told a lie? I'm a sinner. And he just started bawling. But this kid had so much pride at 4 years of age. I'd never seen it like this. He just could not accept that he needed a Savior. He knew in his heart that he was not in the place that God intended for him to be. Because see, you know, when God created man, he created us for a perfect relationship with him. And then Adam and Eve came along, and we blame Eve. But it's Adam's fault. Because the Bible says that it was sin came upon Adam and passed upon all men. Eve's not mentioned in that verse. So it's all Adam's fault. So ladies, next time your husband throws out that, it's that woman you gave me, Lord, just blame it. It's the guy's fault. It's always the guy's fault. We all know that it's always the guy's fault, whether it is or not. So oftentimes we look at our lives and we look at the world around us and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God created us for something more. When you're born lost, there's something in your heart that says, I need something else. This isn't enough. I always use the illustration of Deion Sanders who won the World Series with the Braves and then was with the Dallas Cowboys and they won the Super Bowl. And that night, he was found weeping at his locker. He later told that he almost committed suicide that night and that was the night that led to his salvation. Because he said, after winning the World Series and after winning the Super Bowl, he said, I just thought that would have been it. But as I sat there broken, I realized that there had to be something else. That I needed something more. And it wasn't going to be found in fame and riches and achievements. And that was the night that led him to Jesus Christ. As we look at the need of salvation, this verse lays it out as beautiful as I've ever seen it. The purpose of salvation is that we might be restored back to God. I mean, the Bible tells us how that we would be saved. And it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. See, when we were first created, we were created for the purpose of our relationship, our personal walk with God day by day. What would it have been like to be there with Adam in the garden? Could you imagine that? To literally walk with the presence of God. To verbally speak with God, person to person. I mean, that's the plan. We know that sin destroyed that. You know, and when we look at salvation, I like these verses because it explains to us that we had nothing to do with it. It's kind of like I always usually tell people when it comes to my wife, if there's anything bad, I did it. You know, anything good, she's probably responsible. When it comes to our children, that's definitely the case. All their good attributes came from her. All their bad attributes came from me. Well, you know what? When it came to salvation, the only thing I brought was the sinner. But the Bible says here, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Grace being the death of Jesus Christ. His love that He left His heavenly home and He came down to earth and made Himself of no reputation and wrapped Himself in the form of a servant so that He could then take my place. As the Bible says in Hebrews, that He could be tempted in all points like as we are. He could live my life for me, but in perfection, and then take my death for me. So what does all this have to do with missions? Well, you know, when I look at what Jesus did for me, how can I hold anything back from Him? You know, oftentimes when people talk about missionaries and they think about the sacrifice that the Lord gives and you know, or that they give up and you know, all that they might leave behind, but I just look at what God did. When Jesus Christ left His heavenly home, well, that was considerably better than Washington, Georgia, where I live. I mean, we would willingly give up our home now to go somewhere, anywhere else, honestly. No, we do live in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of nice. Our neighbors are trees and cows and some geese that fly in for the winter. It's really nice. But you know, it doesn't matter what we give up, because when you compare it to what Jesus gave, how can we hold anything back? But so the purpose of salvation was to restore us back to Jesus Christ. I like as he expresses in verse number 9, he said, just in case you guys don't understand what grace means, he says that it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So let me put that in common day terms. I'll put this down over here. If teenage boys can get it, anybody can get it. So what God was saying is, I am giving you a gift. You can't earn it. Have you ever seen a guy, not $5, and he just, oh my goodness. What? We're going to pray for him. Y'all pray for him. Wait, you're the one with a hurt arm too, aren't you? You're the one with a hurt arm too? I think it got your brain. But anyway, a gift is free. Now watch this. Let me show you something. See, boys can't figure this out, but girls can figure this out. I don't even have to look at any of them. It's just the first one. Boom. It's just the way it works. That could have been you. It was that close. It's that close. But a gift. Now, did you earn that? Did you do anything for that? It's a gift. That's what a gift is all about, right? You can't earn it. It's just free. So God says, let me explain this a little more. Not only is it free, there's no way you can earn it. And the reason I don't want you to be able to earn it is because you'll think you're something. You'll think highly of yourself. How many times have we ever done something for the Lord and all of a sudden we were like, yeah, it was pretty good, wasn't it, God? Good thing you picked me. Admit it, I'm not the only one. We've looked back on some things that God has allowed us to be used for and we've sort of said, yeah, me and you, God, like He needed us. I preached a message just the other night about how that God used a donkey, so, the rocks will cry out if we quit. I guess we're not really up there that high. But he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I went through all that to spend some time on this thought. What is our purpose after salvation? See, the purpose for salvation was just to restore us to Jesus Christ, where we were created to have been in the beginning. The place He intended originally was there. So now we've got saved. We're back to our starting point. Now listen, I don't want you to ever get over your salvation. Don't ever get over what Jesus Christ did for you. Because without Jesus Christ, we're on our way to a devil's hell. There's nothing we can do to get away from that. Without Jesus Christ, there's no hope. Don't ever get over that. But can I tell you, that's only the beginning. I think so many times we have people who trust the Lord as their Savior, and man, we're excited about it. They're excited about it. But they never get any farther than that. You know, when you first get excited or first get saved, you're excited about it. Woo! Come on! Let's start telling everybody. We'll get out our gospel tracts and we'll start sharing. Here, they're Christmas ones. You can have them. And, you know, we start passing out our gospel tracts, and then after a little while, it kind of, I got to work late. We got to pay those bills. Those kids won't be quiet. I'm going to work an extra hour. No, I mean, we're always just something else and something else. And before long, we're just tired. It's gotten old. But you know that God has given every believer a job after salvation. That job after salvation is mentioned in verse number 10. It says, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What is the good works He's referring to? I believe it's the Great Commission. We would all agree that a person's last words are usually their most profound and important. If Asher was about to die right now, he is not going on his last breath to say cheeseburgers. He's going to be like, tell Mom I love her. Tell my sisters I don't. I mean, it's going to be something stirring and inspiring, right? Well, five times Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Then He said, go preach the gospel to every creature. Then He said, let repentance be preached unto all nations. Then He said, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. And in Acts 1:8, we all know, He said, and after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. See, the work that God has saved us to, the whole reason that He reset us and the whole reason that He allowed us to stay after the moment of salvation is because He has a job for us. If God didn't have a job for us, the moment we got saved, we're out of here. We're gone. Why? Because there'd be no need for us to be here. But He left us for a purpose. To replenish and multiply as believers. To take the gospel of Jesus Christ and spread it to a lost and dying world who has never heard. And the truth is that that spreading of the gospel to a lost and dying world, it's not just the foreign mission field. It's every day outside these doors. It's everywhere we go. It's at our job. It's at our place of school. It's at wherever we might play our sports or hang out or do our hobbies. That's for young people. Parents know there are no more hobbies. But it's for everywhere we go that God has a purpose that we should be doing every day. And it's sharing the gospel. We had surrendered 15 years ago to be church planters. Almost 16 now. So, Lord, we'll go anywhere You want us to go. We stayed in Georgia for 15 years. But the Lord said, now I want you to go to Argentina. You know what changed about our job? The location. Same job I'll be doing there is the same job you have here. And it's to take these little verses that say, hey, Jesus Christ loves you, and He died on the cross for you, so that if you would trust Him by faith, you could spend eternity in heaven with Him. But you know, the whole purpose of salvation is to get us started. And early in this 2018, I want to ask you, Have you got started? What are you going to do this year? Boys, what are you going to do this year for Jesus Christ? What are you going to do this year that you've never done? What good works? We know the Bible made it clear these good works are not our salvation. But in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1, he said that you should walk worthy of the vocation to which you are called. He said, look, works don't earn your salvation, but the purpose of salvation is that we might serve Him. What will we do this year that we've never done before? You know, right now it's a little easy for us because we're thinking of all these new things that are going on in our life. And you know what? It is easy for us to think, oh, this year, well, we're going to pack up and move to a different country. Check. Well, we're going to look really good on our New Year's resolutions, right? Oh, we're going to learn a new language. Y'all pray about that, by the way. I turned 40 this year, or last year, and languages are seeming a little bit more complicated than they used to. Judson will have to teach us how to do it. But you don't want to know where it's difficult to serve the Lord and to grow? Right where you're sitting. Because you live in the same house, and you go to the same job, and you do the same thing day by day. Because after a while, we just settle down. And we just get comfortable in our lives. And we forget that before the world began, that word ordained means planned and prepared. God prepared a work that only you can do. Hey, young people, you're not the church of tomorrow. You're the church of today. I wonder what work He has for you that only you can do. Are you getting started on it? Hey, mom and dads, grandma and grandpa, wonder what work He has for you that only you can do. Have you gotten started on it? The truth is, we get lulled to sleep oftentimes by our schedule and the humdrum of daily life. But God didn't create you for that. God made you to do something so supernatural that He could use you to change the world if we'll just let Him. I want to challenge you tonight. What supernatural thing has God prepared you for that you're going to start this year? Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you just a couple of questions. The first question is, have you got to the starting point? Maybe you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe much like Michael Fletcher, you've never thought much about being a sinner. But the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Maybe tonight you need to get started at the point of salvation. With every head bowed and every eye closed and nobody's looking around, I won't come to you, embarrass you, or bother you in any way, but I would love to pray for you. If you're here tonight and you don't know for 100% sure that you would go to heaven when you die, if you don't know that you've ever asked Jesus to forgive you of being a sinner, would you just slip your hand up so I can pray for you? I'm not going to embarrass you. I simply just want to pray for you. You know what? Maybe you're here tonight and you know that you're saved. Maybe you've been saved for 10 years. Has God put something on your heart that He has planned for you? You might be honest and say, Brother Raleigh, I have not put a lot of thought into what God may have for me. But I want to start praying about it. I'd like to pray with you Would you just slip your hand up tonight and say, I want to start praying about what God may have for me in my life? Thank you. I see those hands. I see those hands. Then there are those of us who are here, and we probably have served the Lord for many, many years. But you might be honest enough tonight to say, Lord, rekindle that in my heart. Give me that burden to tell a lost and dying world that Jesus still saves and there is hope for their sadness, that there is an eternity that waits for them that is wonderful and is sweet in Jesus Christ. Maybe tonight you just need the Lord to reignite that purpose of salvation. As we stand to our feet, as we begin to sing, I hope that if God has spoken to your heart, that you would do business with Him. Lord, we pray that tonight, Lord, that you would work in the heart of everyone here, Lord, those who've raised their hand, and Lord, those who have just said that you've spoken to them. Lord, I pray that you would just reignite us, Lord, for the purpose of our salvation. Lord, I pray that you would so burden our heart to reach a lost and dying world. As we sing tonight, if God's spoken to your heart, make your way. Do business with Him.
When we walk with the Lord, in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
You know, as we sit here tonight, you think about what God may have done in your past. It all started because somebody shared with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whose journey can you start this week? Who might you find this week that you could get on the right road?
Thank you for listening to this sermon on At the Crossroads. We hope it was a blessing and encouragement. Please contact us with any questions or comments. Send email to pastor@crossroadsbaptistmobile.com or call us at 251-639-9500.